We're back with more of Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Earlier this month, we spoke with a former commissioner of the WNBA, the Women's National Basketball Association, who will speak at an event this week in Milwaukee on the legacy of Title IX, 45 years after the landmark legislation was enacted.
Title IX has had a significant impact on millions of people in the academic setting, especially in the world of athletics, where women and girls now have many more opportunities than they had half a century ago.
Joining us in the studio are two Milwaukee women whose experience in sports was shaped by Title IX. Nikki Barnes played volleyball for 4 years at the Division I level at Marquette, starting in 2013. Brunell Hooker has been in basketball for 4 decades, most recently as the owner and president of the semi-pro Milwaukee Aces. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it.
There are a lot of people talking about this anniversary of Title IX this year, and Title IX touches a lot of things, but both of you have been involved in women's sports over the years. Can you talk about your understanding maybe of how Title IX has shaped the athletes and the work in sports that you've done?
I would say my biggest thing I'm taking away from Title IX is the work it's done to get me the opportunities I've been afforded, being able to play volleyball on equal opportunity teams all growing up and see my sisters who are younger than me going through the same thing, and then having no trouble going through the recruiting process and coming to Marquette to play and having an awesome experience there just goes to show all the legwork that's been put in. By no means is Title IX run its course. The problems are not solved, but I think just the great experience I've had my whole life with sports speaks volumes to the work it's done, and my biggest understanding of it is just look how far we've come, but let's keep going.
When you were like a high school athlete or playing at Marquette, did you really even know about the history either of Title IX or the fact that it wasn't always this way for women and girls?
I think starting in high school and beyond, I had an understanding that there was such a thing as Title IX, but my understanding of really all the work it is currently doing and has been doing was little to none. I don't think I ever thought too much about the struggles that women before me have had, even like my mom's age growing up and younger even. I definitely did not have as much of an appreciation for their struggles as I should have, but just having such the easy and great experience I did, I was very appreciative of that all along, but it definitely speaks for all the work Title IX's been doing.
Brunell Hooker, I don't know that this is telling tales out of school. You might be a couple years older than Nikki Barnes. Can you share, first of all, your Title IX experience? And secondly, the same kind of question, you know, the understanding of what came before and what's here now?
Thank you, Mitch. And I'm proud to say I'm 57. So I was at the age when Title IX first started. So I've seen a lot of the changes for me growing up. But what I've noticed much of is how the sport changed, the competition changed, those opportunities to be able to have the gym more. So those type of things Nikki may not have seen because at her age, it's granted to you now. But back then, it was a fight to get into a gym, to equal opportunities for women in sports. So that's the big difference I've seen, the opportunities of women and girls participating in sports. There's struggles, but I honor Nikki for her truthfulness because you think about it, her day and age is a given. Sports is a given. And back in my day, we didn't take it for granted. And we knew the struggles and we had to fight through things. But just to see it grow, and seeing the accomplishments of these young women nowadays is just awesome to see.
You are in charge of a basketball team today, but I gather that must mean you had playing days in the past, right?
I had playing days in the past, yes. In fact, my first opportunity to play in a team was in high school. Like I said, Title IX just really got started. So I fouled out my first game in 2 minutes. I learned my lesson. But after those couple of years in high school, I ended up getting a scholarship. I'm playing basketball. After that, I ended up having a coaching position at MSOE for my first coaching job. So I coached collegiately for 25 years in various colleges here in the area. a nonprofit, Images of Us Sports. We also talk about Title IX because these young ladies need to understand how sports began and how young it is. Even the championship games are young. Title IX, 45 years old. I'm older than Title IX. Come on. So it's the opportunities to see these advancements, giving these girls that opportunity to also understand what Title IX means and what it means for the future.
Over the 25 years you coached in college, did you see things? I mean, I would imagine that there was a growing period for what Title IX was able to accomplish. Mm-hmm. Were there days when you were still fighting for time in the gym and, you know, opportunities that had always existed for the men's athletes?
Oh, yeah. When it comes to practice times, we're in the practice later. The guys are huddling around the gym waiting for us to get off the floor. So, there's an urgency when it came to practicing. Scheduling the game was not an issue. I had to give it to the colleges and university I worked at. It flowed. But you can see the difference from the men's and the women. And that's what you had to talk to your players about, those differences and how we have to overcome them and even fight for it.
What was the attitude towards women's sports at Marquette in the 4 years you were there? Did it ever feel like you were second fiddle to men's sports?
I can honestly say I never felt like that. I can't speak for all my teammates, but I would say the general feeling overall was that if you are at Marquette playing a sport, you're there for a reason and you're appreciated and well taken care of. I think a lot of it has to do with how far Marquette's come. They have the respect and the funding to be able to take care of all their student athletes equally and all very well. We were afforded the same benefits as the men's basketball team, who I'm sure is much more popular from bystanders.
They might bring in a little more money than the women's volleyball team.
Exactly. But we were afforded the same tutors, the same advisors, the same chefs, the same locker room privileges. So definitely there was not any discrepancies that I could see.
Would the Burnell of 30 or 40 years ago have believed it if she had heard that there would be a time when women's athletes would have chefs and tutors and the same kinds of opportunities?
No. Never thought of that. And those years going through the ranks, and you sit and you watch the men's games, and it really was not a big of a difference. But Title IX is beyond sports as well. I think one of the biggest issues when it came to Title IX was the campus harassments, those type of things. But when it came to sports, it really was they did try to put that equal piece in there for both men and women's team. But Title IX is bigger than sports.
It's bigger than just men and women,
it's
right?
It's bigger than men and women as well. It's just a piece of it. But that little piece really helped the growth of women's sports.
Let me ask you a little bit about your lives today. You graduated after playing 4 years of volleyball. Are you still out there as an athlete today?
I am. Definitely a much less competitive level. I played in a beach league over the summer, and I'm currently playing in just a once-a-week league, still on Marquette's campus, actually, with a couple of other old players. So I'm trying to keep it in my life, and I have six younger siblings, five of which play volleyball, so I try to get home on the weekends and see their games. My sister is currently in her freshman season at the University of Minnesota, so I'm following her. It's definitely still very much a part of my life.
Well, and I imagine you were able to share your collegiate experiences to mm-hmm. sort of help prepare her for hers.
Absolutely. She got to come up and see quite a few of my games. And as soon as we knew where she was going and that she was going to be playing at such a high level, she had a million questions for me. And I was kind of trying to mentor her about the best way to take it all in. And because it is a lot to handle, especially as a freshman, balancing a travel schedule with a full class schedule and just kind of being used to being away from home. So just kind of helping her get used to her surroundings.
So I did this interview a little while ago with a former president of the WNBA and asked somewhat kiddingly why there's not a WNBA team in Milwaukee. And I was informed that while there is not a WNBA team here, there is a semi-pro team. And I'm ashamed to say I did not know about the Milwaukee Aces. Give us a thumbnail sketch of who you are and you know, who plays for you.
Well, Milwaukee Aces, we're going into our fourth season. It derived from an organization, Images of Us Sports, or IOU Sports. We teach girls the business of sports. And as you know, there aren't any professional sports teams, women's sports teams here in Wisconsin. So an opportunity came presented to me to obtain a team, and I'm named it after my parents, AC and Edna Hooker, so it's the Milwaukee Aces. And we have players from, they came from Wisconsin, went to school elsewhere, college that is, and they're back home and they want to still play. And those are the players we seek for. Terry Stamps from Milwaukee Vincent, Shalane Landry from Vincent. Wow, I have Alisa Cola from Mequonica. So we have these women that's from Wisconsin, played Division I basketball, some Division II and III, but they're here in Wisconsin wanting to play in front of their family and friends again. And we give them an opportunity. But there are some who want to play overseas. So we help them with that process of playing overseas. And Milwaukee Aces is strong. You see more of us. Some of the struggles is the sponsorships. But we're going to work with that. We're working with that. Like 4 years, we'll be together for 4 years. So if we've been here this long, obviously we're doing something right. We have a great fan base that's growing. We want Wisconsin to know they do have a team, and it's the Milwaukee Aces.
And the third season was over not too long ago, right?
It was over August. We lost the championship game, but you know what? We'll be back strong. Our fourth year to take the trophy back here to Wisconsin.
And the season begins when?
Our season starts May and ends in August. So we play during the WNBA. Our ultimate goal through the Global Women's Basketball Association is to become a D-League. We're trying to convince the WNBA this should be a D-League for these women who are not making it to the WNBA, and they want somewhere to play. So we want to be a viable source for these women who are looking for a place to play, and we're here.
Well, Brunell Hooker, Nikki Barnes, good luck to both of you. Thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Brunell Hooker is owner and president of the Milwaukee Aces basketball team and also founder and CEO of the nonprofit Images of Us Sports. Nikki Barnes was a four-year member of the Marquette University's women's volleyball team. Today, she's a business analyst at Baird.
Both will be among the athletes honored on Wednesday at a Women's Fund of Greater Milwaukee event marking the 45th anniversary of Title IX. You'll find a link to more information at WUW1.